Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks conclude. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mehra.
Thank you, Manuja. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited. The investor updates have already been uploaded on the stock exchange, company website, and email to you. In case you do not have a copy of the same, please feel free to reach out to us. To take us through the discussion, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Vimal Gokaldas, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Goyal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Omkar Mamonkar, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, and Mr. Dilip Gokhale, Senior Executive Vice President. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the business and the financial performance in Q4 and FY24, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that the company faces. These risks and uncertainties have been mentioned in our annual report. With that said, I'd now like to hand over the call to Mr. Vimal Gokaldas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, for the introduction and also for organizing the call. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to take you through the performance of our company for the quarter and for the last financial year as well. We have shared the updates and the management remarks on the website, but I'll briefly make some statements and then open up to questions. The last year, and particularly the last quarter, were quite difficult, especially from the commodity chemicals point of view. While the volumes were good, the profitability was almost zero or even negative at times. There was reduced demand, there was oversupply, and I think one of the most difficult quarters as far as the commodity chemicals space is concerned. If we look at the geographical markets, Europe continues to be in trouble. I think their energy crisis has not improved substantially, and the market outlook there is gloomy and negative. It's somewhat compensated by the U.S. and by other economies. The Indian economy is also doing better, but it is, the chemical industry globally is quite linked. So one cannot really grow without others growing as well beyond a point. We have seen in the last quarter that the Chinese have been very aggressive in dumping chemicals, and they have, in fact, run their manufacturing plants at high capacity, but they haven't consumed that much of the chemicals, which means that there was much more for exports, and that is where they've tried to crash prices and regain market share. We even had a little bit of trouble with logistics, particularly with the problems in the Red Sea, and for a while there was a lack of availability of raw materials, especially for the boron business, and increase in freight costs. But I think that situation has improved as well. On the domestic side, we could see, and globally as well, we could see that the pigments, coatings, and other sectors have improved compared to the previous three quarters. So we are seeing some hope for recovery in these areas. The only one segment which does not or has not turned around as yet is the agrochemical sector. Even in that, we believe that the worst is over. So I don't think it's going to decline any further. But all the issues with regard to destocking and muted demand and oversupply, things like that, which affected sales as well as sourcing from BMCC and other companies, I think the worst is over. So we are looking forward to improvement. Of course, it's from a low base, and it's crucial for not only us, but the entire agrochemical supply community as well. I think you'll all agree that, you know, ultimately food and other crops are what drives agrochemicals, and nobody is eating less or consuming less in terms of cotton, soybean, palm oil, anything like that. So we expect it will recover. It's a question of when it happens and how fast the ramp up is. Some of our specialty chemicals do go into the agrochemical sector, and they were the worst affected. Some customers, multinationals particularly, had zero requirements. They didn't run their plant at all during the year. And the specialty chemicals, as you all know, are the ones which give us the better margins. So in the agrochemical sector, it was a really tough time for us. And it, in fact, reduced our exports substantially. So the domestic, if you look at the overall volumes, you know, while the top line has reduced dramatically, it's more connected to the reduction in prices of the raw materials than the volume. And we pass on prices of raw materials, so you can see that, you know, although we've reduced our top line, the delta between the selling price and the cost of raw materials has in fact improved a little bit in spite of all these challenges. So for the quarter as well as for the year, we have done marginally better in that sense. In terms of the volumes, overall we have had an increase in volume, though it may not show in the top line. But it's really the concern really for us, and the reason we didn't have a better financial performance is that the increase was more in the commodities, which are lower margin and at times no margin, and the volume reduction was in the specialties, particularly in exports, where we had where we have much better margins. So currently, that's the situation on the operation side. As I said, most sectors except agrochemicals are looking much better already. And we expect that agrochemicals will improve from here as well. On other issues, you can see that we've added a couple of directors at our recent board meeting. One of them is Mr. Harin Parekh, who's a seasoned finance professional. He was head of HDB Financial Services, CFO of HDB Financial Services, and he comes with almost 3 decades of experience. We also added another person, Mr. Kuldeep Tiwari, as an executive director to head our operations. And he brings with him a couple of decades of operating experience, particularly in sulfuric acid, and has been responsible for the projects at Dahej as well. So we've strengthened our board, and we expect to continue to strengthen our management team as well as time goes by. On certifications, happy to inform you that the Dahej site has also got the responsible care certificate. It was audited by an independent team and found to have adequate investment and adequate performance in terms of environment, health, safety, etc. And so So both our sites are now, they're proud to bear the Responsible Care logo. We continue our journey towards reducing our carbon footprint. We've installed gas for one of our LPG for one of our operations, replacing furnace oil. So that's a much cleaner burning fuel. And we continue on our journey towards self-reliance in energy. The major investment we made in the last year was for a turbine to generate power at our Roha site based on steam obtained from waste heat recovery. So that reduces our dependence on the grid. And the Dahej site is in any case more than 90% independent of the grid. Only about 10% of the power requirement is from the GEB grid. But this is an endless journey, and you know, we'll continue to work wherever we can to reduce not only the carbon footprint, but also the water footprint. I think that's a summary of the operation side, and I'd be happy to take questions from all of you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthaya Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so in our results commentary, we mentioned about early signs of recovery. So could you explain what sectors are sort of witnessing that, or any geographies with where you're seeing some sort of demand coming back?
So your audio was not very clear, but if I may repeat your question, you are asking which sectors and which geographies have shown a recovery. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Am I clear now?
Yes. So, so as I mentioned, you know, Europe continues to be challenged, not only because of the war in Ukraine, but also the energy costs. And, you know, different governments coming in, some are right-wing, which are going to affect the way the EU as a whole grows in the future. And investments in the chemical sector may be difficult at this time. Interest costs have been high, and with energy costs continuing to be high and uncertain, it's a tough one. You can even see the results of and the commentary by major multinationals in the German, particularly the German chemical space. Other areas are better off. As I mentioned, China is producing again and competing aggressively with the rest of the world. The US is much better in terms of energy cost, and they are protecting their chemical industry as well as inviting manufacturing back into the country. So we think that there will be a good growth from US side as well. All sectors, as I mentioned, apart from agrochemical sector, seem to be doing better. Again, we are not experts on any particular sector. We supply to a wide range of industries. But it's clear from our order positions and in discussions with customers that this is the case, that there is a general optimism. While I can't say the same for the agrochemical sector, at least it appears that the worst is over.
Okay. And in one of your earlier calls, you had mentioned that we could achieve somewhere close to 500 to 550 crores top line. As we stand today, post-commissioning of our new capacity, can you give us a roadmap of that journey, you know, when exactly would we be able to touch those figures?
So, if you look at the previous financial year, we had a top line close to 400 crores. And what happened this time was that not only were the prices much lower, but also the capacity utilization in the specialty chemicals was much lower. So our investments are practically done in terms of CapEx. We have enough capacity and when the market comes back, we will be in a good position to supply. So it's two things. One is the return of the specialty chemical market, which we are seeing a lot of sectors except agrochemicals, and pricing, which is again, a lot of it is passed through. So I'm not particularly concerned on that side. You know, if raw material prices go up, you'll see a better top line. I'm more interested in a healthy bottom line. And if we move more towards the specialties, whatever is the raw material price and selling price, it doesn't matter that much. But we will surely see a much better EBITDA margin.
And as of our, what's our current utilization?
So in the specialty chemicals, while I don't have an exact number and it depends on product to product, but I would say we are at about 50%
capacity. 50% capacity. Okay. And what would be broad mix of specialty and non-specialty in your revenue?
Right now it's 50-50.
It's 50-50. Okay. So, okay. And Any plans on reducing the debt further?
So yes, we are paying back about 2 crores every month, and depending on our cash flow, we will be reducing the debt. And as it stands now, we expect to at least eliminate all our fixed term debt in 3 years. Assuming we don't do any large
order capex.
Yeah.
Okay. And have we been working on any cost control measures which will further improve our efficiencies?
So we are looking at ways to reduce our utilities. In terms of manpower, I think we are already at the bottom. In terms of utilities, we still believe we can go down further. And you will see some reduction in this year because of better operation of and full year operation of the turbo generating set, which we put in last year, which was sometime in September. We are also considering other non-conventional energy sources by which we will reduce cost further. But again, in terms of logistics and things like that, we are at the mercy of the shipping companies.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just to touch upon your, if I was looking at in the presentation, the R&D spends have declined sequentially year on year. If you could detail on the same and does this indicate that the pipeline for new products is not significant now?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't show that. So what happens is, in terms of development, we've made some investments already. Right now, our efforts are more in the application development, which involves our R&D people as well as our marketing people. So while we are doing some process development work, you know, the investment is not really required when you're doing the application development or at the same level as when you're doing the actual process development. So we've put money already in you know, pilot plants, multi-purpose plants, in equipment, and in analytical equipment as well. And so currently we don't need that much extra expenditure. While we are, you know, as we, if we get into some new chemistries, if we get into some further process development, then we'll be investing again.
Got it. On the boron side, if you could tell about the scale of operations, the margin profile, and what sort of opportunity do you see here? You know, can this become, can this scale to as big as the sulfur business? And just to clarify, this you boron, do you classify under specialty or non-specialty?
So boron has both. It has specialties as well as commodities. And we have done some debottlenecking with very limited capex. We've expanded our boric acid production, and we continue to do that. The market is suitable for that, and we're also able to get the raw materials most of the time. There was a hiccup during the Red Sea crisis, but apart from that, we are now well-placed to grow this segment. So we will grow both the commodities and the specialties, and while we don't talk about individual product margins, I just say that it is quite healthy. And in terms of growth, we believe that, you know, we could do about 150 crores from our current scale of capex just from the boron business.
And what would it be for the overall business on full or near to optimum utilization?
So that would be optimum utilization.
You spoke about the boron business, which is 150 crores, you said. What would the same number be if you have to consider total business, BMCCs, all businesses combined?
Yeah, so it depends entirely on the top line. And that the top line depends on the raw material costs.
Yeah, so on as per current raw material costs, if you could say.
So at current cost, it would be around between 450 to 500 crores.
Okay, so the balance would be 350 would be from non-boron business.
Yes.
And what's the split currently, boron and non-boron, as of the 320-330 crore sales?
So boron is about 20% at the moment.
Is about 20%. Okay.
20%.
20% means 60 crores. So boron then is running at 40% utilization, right?
Yes. But remember that 40% utilization is not the correct number, because that is, we didn't have the full capacity for the full year.
Got it. Okay. And the last question, do you in your reasonable estimates, whatever feelers you're getting from the market, do you feel FY25 will be that year where we would be able to sort of branch out of our 300-350 crore trajectory of sales and then maybe cross 400 odd crores?
So difficult to predict, and I don't like to make forward-looking projections on top line or bottom line. We'll take it as you know, we'll discuss every quarter and we'll come back with a with our analysis. But I, as I said, you know, a lot of the segments are looking better, and apart from agrochemicals, we have good visibility.
And how much would agrochemicals, in terms of your end demand use case, what roughly would you be, would it be contributing by from agrochemicals?
So in general, you know, about 10 to 12% would be from agrochemicals. But most of that 10 to 12% is the specialty, which is what has hurt us.
Great, sir. It was a really nice discussion I had with you, and all the best for your future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ketam from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir.
I can't hear you. Could you speak louder, please?
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Is it audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, my question was on sulfones. So how much revenues did we do in sulfones for this year? Some sulfones?
So we don't publish individual product volumes. Okay. But as I said, you know, a lot of the demand from Europe was muted. So we had much lower than what we would like to have.
Okay. Sir, I'm just asking in the sense that are we near, I mean, sort of a capacity utilization in sulfones, or is there like a capex plan there?
So there's no capex plan. We are nowhere near capacity utilization. In fact, for the overall specialty chemicals, we are at about 50% only.
Okay. So another question was on the anchor plant, which we have for one of the MNC customers, European. So what has been the pickup there for FY24?
So again, sector-wise is different. And whatever business we had for the agrochemical sector has been near zero. Okay. Other sectors was okay, you know, pigments, coatings, all that was fine. Polymers was fine. But for agrochemicals, it was actually zero.
Okay. So based in the terms of that anchor plant, mostly FY24 was flat for FY23?
Yes, at least in international markets. Even domestic markets, you know, in the beginning of the year, the pigments was in bad shape. Then pigments have started picking up only in calendar year 2024. So we'll see how that progresses. But certainly, from a volume point of view, financial year 23-24 was very poor for the specialty chemicals.
Understood. So another question was on boron. So you mentioned that we have a capacity to do 150 crores in future. Any capex is needed to get there, or this is the existing installed capacity?
Yeah, very little capex. It will be some debottlenecking type of thing, but nothing significant.
That would be how much? Around 10, 15 crores? Or nothing more than that.
Less than.
Okay, less than that. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Gulati, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Girish, please speak a little louder. I can hear you, but a little louder, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, if you can just share throw some light on the gross margins, what kind of gross margins we should we see in a stabilized scenario in FY25 or FY26? Because I think this quarter gross margins have taken a bit of a hit, So just some light on the gross margins. Thank you, sir.
So I can't project how it's going to be, you know, but I can tell you historically that if we are, we should be at least, if we have a good balance of speciality and commodities, and, you know, we go by our, the kind of working we had in the past, we would expect EBITDA of between 15% to 20%. You know, and that is what we were envisaging when we made the CapEx at Dahej.
Okay. Right, got it, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Couple of questions. First one on the boron side. How many of these downstream products that we can anticipate to be launched in the next 6, 9, 12 or 15 months?
So, as I mentioned earlier, one of the specialties we've been working on is goes into automotive applications.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had successful commercial trials. This I had already mentioned that we were doing R&D trials in the previous quarters. We've been successful at the commercial level, and we expect to ramp up over the next few quarters.
Any number you'd like to put on the top line that you can fetch from this initiative?
Oh, I'll prefer to discuss it on historical basis once it happens. Mm-hmm. But since I've already mentioned that we are working on this, I thought it's appropriate to give an update.
Okay, that makes sense. Sir, of the total speciality and non-speciality, currently we are at around 60% speciality. How far do you think that you can take speciality to, maybe 65, 70 or 75 or more than that?
So, you know, right now it's about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the long-term average, you know, before we made the investment at Dahej, mm-hmm. it was two-thirds speciality and one-third commodity. And that's the kind of mix we expect to have.
Okay. So we've added a new geography this year, that is Australia. Can you take us through what sort of opportunity do you see there? Which segment or which chemistry are you dealing with? Any long-term contracts with these guys in Australia?
So no, it's not a very big market overall for chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have much manufacturing. They have a lot of mining.
Okay.
And for the mining, they need certain products in terms of their, you know, their equipment for their conveyor belts, for example. So we are supplying into that space, but it's not a huge opportunity. It's a long-term steady business, not very big.
Okay. You did speak about reducing the debt by around 2 crores per month. Do you think you will be a debt-free company by FY 2027-28, long-term debt-free?
If we don't do any other CapEx, yes. And right now for the kind of, operations we have in mind, we won't need anything substantial. So our plan is to be debt-free by then, yes.
Mm-hmm. So can you take us through the pain points and the gain points from the industry, maybe detergent, dyes, fertilizers, agro, you said, is a pain point. But in terms of boron, thermal power stations, steel industries, electroplating, where do you see that, which are the domains where you see more traction coming through with high margin molecules should be sold?
So in general, the boron is quite versatile. You know, it goes into everything from fertilizers to steel and glass, ceramics and all that, brass, into pharmaceuticals as well. Mm. And there are some downstream products which we are working on. So, you know, while the current requirement may be for a certain product like, say, boric acid or whatever, we think that in the long term, the focus will need to be on downstream specialties, and that's where we are working. I think there are opportunities in several areas in the boron space, and we are working on R&D as well as application development in these areas.
Okay. Okay. There were some divestments or some non-core investment during the year. If you can just share what were these related to, and are there any more pockets in future where we can get some more cash from these non-core businesses?
So this was not a business actually, but it was a historical investment in shares of Indian Potash Limited.
Okay.
When back in the days when you know, we were a fertilizer company, and probably I think that investment was before I joined the company. So I don't know the reason for making the investment at that time, but it was certainly of no strategic value to us now, and we thought it would be better to encash, although it's not a listed company. It took us a while to develop the market for those shares, but we did, and it helped us in with our cash flow certainly in this last quarter.
Okay. Well, we have some more other current assets around 5 crores or so, which is related to the land at Ambernath. Do you think that this will be solved during the year, or will it be pushed?
This is unfortunately not in our hands, and it depends on permissions that the buyer needs to get and things like that. So, in fact, the buyer is more anxious than we are, but there is nothing we can do to push it.
I know you don't like to give political statements.
We would be trying to get that as soon as possible.
Okay, okay. I know you don't like to give forward-looking statements, but we are running at around 820 billion kind of quarterly run rate. Do you think directionally DMCC speciality is moving towards 930-950 million per quarter?
Sorry, I didn't get your last part.
Do you think that DMCC is gradually moving towards 930-950 million per quarter kind of run rate?
So difficult to, you know, to give a number because of the variations in the raw materials. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, we've had a positive growth in a lot of the volumes, and the negative growth has been only in exports. And if we see that coming back, then you'll have a much better top line for sure, even at static raw material price.
Last one from my side, you didn't mention that the R&D cost is kind of reducing. Do you think that it will go further down? Because from 1.91%, we have come to somewhere like 1.09%. Do you think that there is more scope to reduce this, or will there be a ramp up going forward?
No, I think I don't think we'll go much below this. But surely, as we add some chemistries, as we add some other products, and we take it to commercialization, we will see an increase.
When you say adding new chemistries, you are talking about absolutely brand new chemistry, is it? Something that is arsenic, sulfur or boron chemistry?
It would be allied, of course. It would be, you know, either downstream or it would be something allied. We're not talking about something out of the blue.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Jain from UK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have just two questions. Firstly, can you share the utilization number for bulk chemical last year?
Say again.
Bulk chemical utilization for the previous year, FY24.
So bulk chemicals are mostly at about 90% utilization. While I don't have the exact number for last year, but I can tell you that it is in that range itself.
Yeah. works. Secondly, on the margins between specialty and bulk segment, so can you give some color on that?
Sure. So while I can't discuss individual products or individual segments on the margin, I can tell you that for the specialties, 20% and up is the number, while for the commodities, it could be anything, it could be 0 plus minus 5%. It's like that, Occasionally you get a bump up, but you're operating these plants mainly to get the feedstock for your specialty chemical operations and also to get the utilities. So sulfuric acid, for example, in the previous quarter was at a very low level. We were selling at or below sulfur price. And the specialties were a better margin, but we didn't have enough volume. And that is the sort of story for most of last year.
Okay. So I read that you target only segments with 30% margins. So how is that?
So that is for all our new products, that is our target. And whatever new products we do, including the sulfones and all that, we do get that margin.
Okay. So from when can I assume that we have been targeting 30%? Has that been strategy before that has been implemented already?
Yes. So what, unfortunately, the volumes haven't cooperated. Global markets haven't cooperated. So we've seen a hit on our specialty chemical volumes, particularly in exports. And that's what really affects our bottom line.
So from FY22 or 23, we have implemented this strategy of 30%. Am I right?
We've had that even before, because when we decide what to invest in terms of R&D or what product to go in, our baseline is that if we are not going to be able to achieve that as a margin, then it's not worth spending R&D.
Understood. Thanks. That all from my side. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Given our current capacity utilization, if I heard it correctly, Bimal, you said 50% is the current utilization in specialty and 90% in bulk. So talking specifically on the specialty side, what would be that approximate percentage that may trigger a further expansion in a specialty, of course?
Right. So, we have dedicated plants and we have multipurpose plants. So for the dedicated plants, it becomes a large investment if we need to go up further. Because then you got to, they're continuous processes and you can't do it in sort of a modular fashion. You can do some debottlenecking, but it requires generally a larger investment. Whereas in the multipurpose plants, you can achieve this with lower capex. But to answer your question, we would need to be at certainly 70-80%. And we would need to have good visibility. We would not rush to invest just because we are achieving high capacity utilization. Because, these things can change and we have seen them change. So unless there is some pull from the market side, it would not tempt us into putting more money in capex.
So pull in terms of customer coming up with a proposal and willing to either invest partly or completely, or at least give us a written contract kind of an assurance.
Correct.
Okay. And then is it fair to say that the dedicated plant is a one step further from the multi-purpose capacities that we have, because logically thinking, multipurpose is for product development at a smaller volume, and then if we get the right kind of market customer fit, then we can potentially explore a dedicated plant for that specific product. Is that how usually it works, or am I thinking along the wrong lines here?
Yeah, that's exactly how we think. Other companies may be having a different philosophy. Some may not have dedicated plants. Some may have all multipurpose plants. Some may have only dedicated plants. But we believe this is the right way to go for us.
And that's how typically customer approaches that, you know, show us that you have the capability to develop a specific chemistry at a smaller scale. We need to validate it. And then if so, automotive example that you gave earlier on this call, right? That's the typical way to expand capacity from development going to or from multipurpose going to full scale commercial at a dedicated level.
Yes.
Okay. How long it would normally take to expand capacity other than debottlenecking? So you mentioned you have debottlenecking, which will consume probably 10 to 15 crore in the current fiscal. Other than debottlenecking, if we were to expand our capacity, brownfield is what I'm assuming because we have the land parcel available. Is it a 1 year or a 18 months or what kind of a time frame it would be across? So I've got three parts to it: across bulk and specialty, and then within specialty, if you could split between multipurpose and dedicated.
So bulk, we don't need to expand. You know, we have enough capacity within. We would just sell less of sulfuric acid and convert it more into downstream products. So we've got enough capacity on the bulk for the foreseeable future. The timing or the duration of projects, if you need to start from the environmental clearance level, then from day zero it would be 3 years before you could actually have commercial output in case of dedicated plants. In case of multipurpose, it could be quicker, but you still need to ensure that you have the permissions in place before you could start.
Right. So even for brownfield, we would need environment clearance for any further capacity expansion other than debottlenecking.
Yes. And not only for capacity expansion, but if you wanted to do something new. If it was,
right, so something,
existing product and you already had environmental clearance and you wanted to expand capacity, it would be much shorter, you know, less than a year. But if it was,
right,
if it needs to go through environmental clearance, then it's a long process.
Sure. No, I get that. So for the allied chemistries that we are exploring, which will be related to sulfur stroke boron, there potentially will be, if we were to expand it after successful experiment execution, etc., there will be a need to do or undertake environment clearance.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vimal Gokuldas for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all of you who've been patient with the listening on this call and with the company performance. And again, like to assure you that my team and I are doing whatever we can to get through these tough times. And we look forward to a brighter future with your support and, of course, with guidance from all our stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.